Take the Word of God with me this evening and turn to Mark chapter number 13. Mark chapter number 13. What a blessed truth we find in the Word of God, that when the Lord Jesus Christ, having paid the debt for our sin, having finished salvation's work, as He ascended up into heaven, He didn't leave for good, but He promised and left us the promise that He would come again. What a tremendous truth that we find in the Word of God. And I want to preach to you tonight a message I've entitled, Watch and Pray, dealing with the return of our Lord and what is our responsibility as we wait upon the return of the Lord. If you have Mark chapter 13, let's begin reading in verse number 32. In Mark 13 and verse 32, the Bible says, But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, at the midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Let's pray. Father, we do love you again tonight, and we thank you for the privilege it is to be here. Lord, I thank you for each and every one that's here. Despite the rain, they came seeking to hear from thy word. And Lord, I do pray for those that are watching on the internet, those that are listening on the radio that perhaps couldn't make it out tonight. But Father, I pray that as we look into thy word, that the Holy Spirit of God would do a mighty work in our hearts tonight, that you would encourage us, and Lord, help us to answer the question, if you were to come at this very moment, would we be ready? Lord, I pray that at the conclusion of the message that you would help each and every one of us to respond according to how you've dealt with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to Mark chapter 13, and as we come to this passage of Scripture, we find the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching about His return. And the truth about it tonight is you and I have no idea when that day will be. The Bible says, no man knoweth the hour. No, not even the angels that are in heaven, only the Father. So we have no idea exactly when it is the Lord Jesus Christ will return. I do believe that we're living in the last days. I do believe that His return will be soon. However, I know that it's a very foolish thing to try and assume that you and I could ever project the day of His return. You look throughout the years and throughout history, there have been many that have tried to guess what day the Lord would come. And time and again, we find that those who have done that have been shamed because it didn't happen. We're still here. And so it's a very foolish thing to try to guess the day and the hour when He would come. But I want to tell you tonight that the Bible teaches that there is nothing else that needs to happen for Him to come. According to the Word of God, the very next thing on His calendar is to return unto earth, to come back for His saints, that we may be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're excited about that. Do you realize tonight that it very well could be before we ever make it to the invitation of the service tonight, the trump of God could sound. And in that moment, you and I who know the Lord Jesus Christ could be caught up into the clouds to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And while this is a very glorious thing to consider, the fact that we could see our Savior today, that today there could be no more sorrow and heartache, that today all the trials and all the troubles of this life could be over. What a glorious thought. But I want to show you tonight that as much as this is a glorious thought, this thought also comes with a strong warning that Jesus Christ has given about the day that the Lord will return. And we see that here in our text, again in verse number 34. The Bible says, the Son of Man is as a man, verse 32, he says, But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Catch this, he says, Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Can I tell you this evening that it's a glorious thing to think about the Lord's return, and it's something that all of us ought to be looking forward to, but God gives a very strong warning when it comes to the idea of His return. And that is, he says, to take heed. That is, to be alert, to be careful, because it comes at a time when you do not know. And for that very reason, God has commanded you and I to watch and to pray. I want you to consider, first of all, this evening, the word watch. God has commanded you and I, in the meantime, while we're waiting for the Lord's return, we are to be watching. Why would the Lord tell us to watch? Well, I think it's very obvious, and it's answered right here in the text. It's because no man knows when it's coming. We don't have the idea or any inclination at what point it will be. We can't just prepare for a certain time. We have to be ready at all times for His return. We have to be watching for His return. And then we see here in our story that the master in verse number 34 leaves and he takes off on a far journey and he gives instruction unto his servants to work. Notice again in verse 34, the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Notice that when you read this verse, the master of the house, the Bible is likening this or picturing this to the returning of the Lord. And he says it's as if the master of the house leaves and goes off on this far journey and he commands his servants, those that are there waiting, to be busy, to be working. He commands every man his work, but notice that he never reveals unto his servants the day in which he might return. Not any time in this passage do you see this master saying, "Hey, I'll be gone for about a year. Go ahead and be ready when I come back." He doesn't give us any idea what time the master will come. The expectation that the master has for his servants is that in his absence, they would be faithful. That in his absence, they would be faithful to the work that he had entrusted them to do. The word watch that we find here in this passage of Scripture does not have the idea of standing by idle, just watching the world go by, and in the meantime, go ahead and keep an eye out for the Lord. God's intention when He tells you and I to watch is not the idea that we're not to do anything in the meantime, but just sit there and fixate on the heavens looking for Him to come. The word watch that we find in this passage of Scripture has the idea of being alert, being vigilant, being wide awake and looking and anticipating, expecting the return of the Lord. You could say that the word watch here is to be working with anticipation for His return. The master of the house tells his servants, "Look, I'm leaving, but in the meantime, you need to be faithful to your responsibility. I've entrusted upon you a job to do. There is work that must be done. And while I'm gone, I want you to be faithful to do your job while anticipating my return." This is so important. He says here in verse number 35, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at the midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning." And look at verse 36. He says, "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." What is the purpose of our watching? What is the purpose of our anticipation for the day that the Lord returns? It's because you and I have been given a work, a responsibility that we are to accomplish for the Almighty God. And we have no idea when the Lord is coming, but God says we need to watch. We need to be busy doing our jobs, doing the work of God, being alert for the Lord coming, because at any moment He could come. And if we're not alert, we're not vigilant, our eyes are not fixated upon the Lord, He could come at a time when He finds us sleeping. I believe that's a very strong word that we find here. And literally what is happening here is that the master of the house is letting his servants know that the very worst thing that could happen to them is that the master would return and find his servants sleeping on the job. Can you imagine that had the master left for a long journey, and in the meantime, he is expecting his servants to continue to do the chores, to continue to do the work. He expects the work to continue in his absence. Can you imagine if that master returned home after many years and he finds that those servants, rather than being faithful, rather than continuing to stay busy, he comes back and he finds that they had fallen asleep on the job and nothing had been accomplished? Can you imagine what the master of that household might be thinking? Can you imagine the disappointment, perhaps even the anger that would be when he finds that his servants have done nothing in his absence? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've been caught asleep when you know you shouldn't have been? Hopefully that time was not when you were behind the wheel of a car. But have you ever been caught asleep when you know that you shouldn't have been and you realize, "Man, I'm caught"? Perhaps some of you, and I'll pick on the OCA students for a minute, perhaps some of you, in a classroom setting, you've fallen asleep while the teacher was teaching. Maybe it was math. You know, nobody really likes math. That's one of those subjects. English was mine. I could not stand English in school. My idea was, I can speak it. Why do I need to take a class on it? Sorry, Mrs. Cumby. But I didn't like English, but I wonder how many of us at times have ever fallen asleep in a classroom only to be awakened by the sudden sound and to feel the shaking of the desk as a stack of books dropped right next to our face on the desk. And all of a sudden we realized, oops, man, I'm in trouble. The teacher just caught me asleep when I should be up taking notes. Maybe some of you who work at an office, you find it difficult at times to stay awake at your job. Before I came here, I worked in Thomasville, Georgia for 2 years, and I worked in the finance department at the hospital. And we actually had 4 different hospitals and nursing homes and various things. And for 8 hours a day, I would sit at a cubicle looking at spreadsheets, punching numbers into a spreadsheet. And I can promise you this, there were times when I found it very difficult to stay awake. However, I knew the company policy. If you were called asleep on the job, chances are you're not going to have that job for very long. You see, there's consequences when there's work to be done, and yet we find ourselves falling asleep on the job when there is a work that needs to be accomplished. It is never a good thing or a good feeling to be caught sleeping when you know you shouldn't be. And oftentimes, when you find yourself in that situation, it can cost you greatly. The student that sleeps in class may get a 0 for that day for not participating. You fall asleep on the job, it could cost you your job. Can I submit to you that even worse than that, for you and I as Christians to fall asleep spiritually on the Lord could be at great cost to you and I. What a shame it would be for the Lord Jesus Christ to return tonight, and rather than finding us completing the work, fulfilling our responsibilities as His children, He sees that we've fallen asleep, that we're going through the motions day in and day out, without the actual relationship with the Lord. Can I tell you that for these servants in the story, the worst thing that could happen to them is that the master returns and nothing has been done. I would imagine the master again would be very upset, and he might have some strict punishments on the servants. They may not be servants much longer. They may have money withheld from them that they would be paid. There would be consequences. But may I submit to you tonight that for the Christian, the saddest thing of all that could happen to you and I is that the Lord Jesus Christ would return and find us sleeping spiritually. To be asleep spiritually. Do you realize tonight that God has entrusted each and every one of us, not just the preachers, not just the missionaries, but every one of us who has trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, God has entrusted you and I with His work. Not just a work, it's God's work. The word we find in the Bible is stewardship. That has the idea that we are to take responsibility of something and take care of something that belongs to somebody else. We are entrusted to something that is not our own, but we have been given the responsibility to maintain and to take care of it. And so God Almighty has entrusted you as a believer with His work. The work that you and I are to do is not our work, it's His work. Do you realize tonight that this church, Central Baptist Church, does not belong to Pastor Andy Bloom, and it does not belong to you and I? This is God's church, and God has given us the opportunity and the responsibility to labor in this local assembly. God has entrusted us the stewardship of the Word of God to go out into the world and preach it to everybody, to all nations. We have a responsibility. You read your Bible and you see countless number of commands and things that God has put to our trust. One of those is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is your individual responsibility as a child of God that has been entrusted to you. Friend, can I tell you, we oftentimes throughout life, there are people that perhaps when you go out of town, they'll ask you to come over and feed the animals, or perhaps they'll ask you to come by and check the mail. And oftentimes when we have a close friend that asks us to do something for them, they've entrusted to them maybe the keys to their house to be able to come over and take care of their animals. Now, if you're going to agree to do that, I would suspect that you're going to do the best job you can. You're not going to say, yeah, I'll watch your animals and not show up for 5 days. Chances are, if you agree to it, you're going to be faithful to what your friend has entrusted you to do. how much more should you and I be faithful? If we're faithful to a friend who asks us to take care of the animals when we're out of town, how much more should God's people be faithful to what He's entrusted us to do in His absence? There's a great work that must be done. The Bible commands us to let our light shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Can I tell you tonight, if you're saved, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit of God immediately comes to live inside of you. Right now, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. The Bible declares because of that, you are the light of the world. Jesus is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if the Holy Spirit of God, God who is light, lives and abides inside of you, then you are the light of the world. You have a responsibility, a stewardship to take the light that God has given you and let it shine to this world. Because this world, as we read and studied this morning, is living as if there is no God. And the only way that they're going to know that there is if God's people will let their light shine for this world. We have a work to do. And it's not our work, it's God's work. It's a great work. He says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And we could go on and on with the stewardship that has been entrusted to us. But understand tonight, there's a work. The Master is not here presently at this moment. He's not here physically, I should say. He's everywhere. But in the Master's absence, He has entrusted to you His work. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago walked on this earth, His earthly ministry was to go out and to teach and to preach the Word of God. Jesus was faithful to let other people know about salvation. He was faithful to tell others who He was and how they could be saved. That was His mission, His work, that all men should come to repentance. And today, in 2018, the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. He's not here physically any longer to preach that message, but He has entrusted you and I as His people to carry out His work. Friend, how are we doing? If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come right now, the Master were to come, would He be pleased with you? Have you continued in the work that He's given you to do? Or would He find you sleeping? Friend, do not neglect or fall asleep on the commandments of God, lest the Master find you sleeping when He returns. Take the Word of God with me. Turn over to Matthew 24, and we see another example here in the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 24. And as you turn there, we see this same idea, this same passage from a different author in Matthew. If you have chapter 24, begin reading in verse number 42. Matthew 24 and verse 42. The Bible says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?" Catch verse 46. "Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." We see a beautiful picture here in Matthew chapter 24 along the same idea of watching. In fact, he says in the very beginning, "Watch therefore, because again, you know not when the Master shall come." And we see an example here of a faithful and wise servant. I believe every one of us here tonight would love for the Lord Jesus Christ to consider us faithful, to consider us wise. And you can have that, and the Bible tells us how God can look at our lives and count us as wise and faithful. The example here, I think, is one that we all understand. It's very easy for us to grasp this example. He says that had the man or the owner of the house known the exact moment that a thief would come and break into his home, he would be ready. I believe that's a great illustration that you and I can understand tonight. If somebody were to come to you and give you counsel that they had heard that there was a man that was going to come into your house tonight and he was going to break in and steal something out of your household, chances are if you knew about that ahead of time, you wouldn't just go to bed tonight like normal. Chances are you would have authorities waiting, perhaps you would have a gun or something ready, and you would be prepared because you had been forewarned that something bad was going to happen. He says if the man of the house had known in what watch of the night the thief would break in, he would have been ready. Well, again, I think that's so easy for us to understand. That makes perfect sense to us tonight. But here's the question. If you and I knew the exact hour that Jesus Christ would return, if God were to reveal unto us that at this day, at this moment, at this hour, Jesus would come again, it would change our lives. It would absolutely change who we are, because we would make sure that at that exact moment we would do everything in our power to make sure that we were ready. If we knew that Jesus Christ were coming 1 week from today, about this hour, I would submit to you that chances are everybody in this room would go home tonight and spend hours and hours in the Word of God and on your knees in prayer, and you would do everything humanly possible to be ready to meet your Lord. You would make sure that your sin was confessed to the best of your ability. You would make sure that you were as close to God as you could possibly be, because you knew He was coming. And when He comes, you will have wanted to be as close and as right with God as possible. Why? So that He can count you a faithful and wise servant. So that He can look at you with a smile and say, "Well done, you did good." Because none of us want to meet our Savior and meet Him with shame in our hearts. And yet, how sad it is that you and I know, we've been taught by the Word of God, we know that His appearing could be at any moment. We know that it could happen tonight. And yet, we've made no preparations for that day. How many days go by in our lives that we know in our hearts, and it's tucked away in there, that this could be the day, yet we make no preparations that day to meet our Savior? How sad to think, if we knew it, we'd be ready. But the idea that it could happen in a moment, we choose not to prepare. That's to our shame. It could very well be that the Lord Jesus Christ could return at a time in your life that at the exact moment He appears, you might be filled with shame. It could be at a time when you've gone through an unguarded moment and you know you're doing something that is not pleasing unto God. And rather than being awake, rather than watching and being vigilant, God would come and find you sleeping. Rather than watching. What a sad thing that would be. May I encourage you this evening to each and every day of your life prepare to meet the Lord. Every day that we live ought to be another day to prepare for the moment that we see Jesus Christ. By the way, the Bible promises every single one of us has an appointment with God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Each and every one of us will stand face to face with God. We have an appointment. And while we're waiting, while God has left us here and entrusted us His work, it's another opportunity. Every day is another opportunity to draw closer unto God, because we will see Him one day face to face. You realize tonight that time spent waiting on the Lord is not wasted time. It's preparation time. Right now, where you are in your life, it's time to prepare to meet your God. Watching and waiting on His return, it's preparation time. Notice with me again here in our passage in Matthew chapter number 24. He says in verse 45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?" Verse 46, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." How will God count you faithful and wise? By watching, by anticipating and looking forward to His return. The servant that is faithful to fulfill the master's tasks in his absence, the servant that is anticipating and expecting and looking for His return, God says that man will be blessed. That man will be counted wise and faithful. But then notice with me in Luke 21, here we see in Matthew a faithful servant, a wise servant, the example of one that is waiting and watching for the Lord. But in contrast, I want you to see in Luke 21 briefly a man who is caught sleeping. The man that is caught unaware. Matthew 24, we see the blessed man. The man who is faithful, the man who is watching, he's alert, he's vigilant, he's staying busy for God. But in Luke 21, we see a great contrast here. In Luke 21, look at verse number 34. Luke 21 and verse number 34. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God, the Son of Man, excuse me. We see here in this passage of Scripture, there's a great contrast. The faithful and wise servant is watching. He's waiting, but not only just standing idle. He's busy doing the work of God that's been entrusted to him. But in Luke 21, there's a strong warning. He says, take heed lest your heart be overcharged, lest the day come upon you unaware. Do you understand tonight that there will be those that the day Jesus Christ comes again, there are many that will be caught unaware, completely unprepared and unready for the Lord to show. Those that will be busy about the cares of this life, those that will be overcharged, the Bible says, with the cares of this world, and Jesus will return, and their very first meeting with their Savior will be one filled with sorrow and shame, one with regret, and they stand before Him out of the will of God. The Bible said there are those that will be taken by the cares of this life. And in verse number 35, he says, for those, the Lord's coming will not be glorious. It will not be something that's of great joy. Verse 35 says, if you're not ready for the Lord to come, when He comes, it will be a snare unto you. What a shame. Do you understand tonight that the prince of this world, Satan, is a masterful person to distract. Satan is masterful at distraction. He has got this world so filled with stuff and so filled with entertainment and so filled with things that occupy our time that he has become such a great master at distracting you and I from what we ought to be paying attention to. The devil of this world can distract us so easily. He has a way of placing things in front of us that seem so appealing that we choose not to resist. Think about this. The temptations of Satan, he uses this world and he brings the world's allure and the world's charm, and he dangles things in front of us that we find so appealing and so attracting that rather than resisting, we choose to indulge ourselves in the cares of this world. Understand tonight, it's not because temptation is so great. It's not because Satan is all powerful. It's because we choose to allow ourselves to indulge in this world. The Bible says that God is faithful, that we are not tempted above anything that we're able, but God will with the temptation make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. He says there's no temptation in this world that Satan can tempt you with that is too great for you to handle. God has promised that He'll be with you and help you to overcome it. So why do we choose to sin? Why are we distracted by the cares of this world? Well, if you remember in the very beginning, Adam and Eve were in the garden and the devil came along, and you remember the fruit that Eve partook of in the garden. And I would imagine that Satan, as he dangled that fruit in front of Eve that God had commanded that they should not partake of, he made that fruit to seem to be the most appealing, delicious, and distracting thing in this world. He made it to be the most alluring. He says, hey, if you'll take of this fruit, you'll be as God. And how often in our lives we're distracted by the devil and the lies that he tells. Oh, he'll use the joys of this world and he'll use the pleasures of this world to overtake us. But catch this, he'll distract us by this world, but he never mentions the brokenness. He never mentions the heartaches that follow when we indulge in the cares of this life. He says here, you need to be careful. You need to watch for the return of the Lord, because there will be those that are caught unaware. Their hearts are overcharged by the cares of this world. Friend, tonight, do not allow the joys of this world to blind you. And that's what sin does. Sin blinds us to the truth. Don't allow Satan and the joys of the world to blind you from the joys of being with Christ. Far better for you and I to be ready to meet our Savior. Far better for you and I to be with the Lord than to indulge in the cares of this life. How sad to think that the moment you see Jesus face to face for the first time, you know, people talk about first impressions and how they mean everything. Could you imagine your first impression, the first time that you see Jesus with your own eyes physically, you would have to do so blushing because of what you were transpiring, what was taking place, what you were doing at the moment He returned. Oh, I encourage you tonight, God has commanded us to watch. But then quickly tonight, not only does He say that we are to watch, but He says also that we are to pray. He said, "Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." May I share with you briefly tonight three things that we find in the Bible that we ought to pray for in light of His coming. And don't worry, this next part will go a lot faster than the first. Watch and pray, not only to be busy for the Lord, not only to be vigilant, looking for His return, but He says also we are to pray. You see, it's not enough just to do the work of God. It's not enough just to stay busy, because you and I, in and of ourselves, can't do the work of God. We need His help. And anything we do for God, we need to make sure that we've bathed in prayer, because that's where the power is. So what are we to pray for in light of His coming? Notice with me, first of all, in 1 John chapter 3, we are to pray for His return. You say, well, pray for His return? That doesn't make a lot of sense. No, pray for His return. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Catch verse 3, this is important. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." We see here in verse 3, the Bible says, "He that hath this hope." What hope? The hope of the Lord returning. The hope that Jesus Christ one day is coming back for you and I. There will be a generation that will never taste death. We all do not like to dwell on death. None of us like to think about the day when we're going to give up the ghost and we're going to die physically. But there will be a generation, there will be those that will never taste the sting of death, because Jesus will come again and we'll be caught up in the clouds to meet Him in the air. And He says here, "Every man that hath this hope." That word hope is the idea of anticipation, the idea of expectation. God says if you have the anticipation, the expectancy that Jesus is coming, you have that hope, it purifieth you. You know what that word purify means? To make clean. You know what sin does to you and I? It makes us dirty. Sin brings about sorrow. Sin brings about scars. Sin brings about wickedness and dirtiness in our hearts. But Jesus said that if you have the hope of His return, you're looking forward to it, with anticipation, it will help you to stay clean. It will purify you. When you're looking forward to His return, you're going to carry yourself in a different manner. You're going to act a little differently. And so we need to pray for His return, to look forward to it and pray for it. As a child, I remember growing up in church, and oftentimes when my pastor would preach on the second coming, I remember sitting in my pew, as some of you may be doing tonight, and I remember thinking, you know, he's telling me to look forward to His return, and in the back of my mind I'd think, but I'm not ready for Him to come. I don't want Him to come yet. I want to graduate high school. I want to go to college. I want to experience this or experience that. I want to have a family. I want to know what it's like to grow up and do these things. And I remember as a child, the pastor would say, "Look forward to His coming." And in my mind, I'd say, I really don't want to, because I want to do this or do that. But can I tell you, church, that when He comes, all of those things will fade away in the light of His glory and His grace. All the things that we look forward to and we think that we'd like to do, listen, they're not going to mean anything when we see our Savior, because He is all in all. And we will be just captivated by the presence of Almighty God. Friend, can I encourage you tonight to pray for His return? It'll help you to stay clean and to realize that His return will be glorious. Many of you have experienced great heartache and tragedy in your life. You know, when the Lord Jesus is present, there's no tragedy. When you're with Him in paradise, there's no sorrow. It's glorious. But notice, secondly, not only should we pray for His return, in Luke chapter number 22, we find that we should pray that our faith fail not. God says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And in Luke 22 and verse 31, Jesus is speaking and He says unto Peter, He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. One of the things that you and I ought to pray while we're waiting for the Lord to return is that our faith would not fail in this life. We have an adversary, the devil, and his desire is to sift you as wheat. His desire is to destroy your life as his desire was to take Peter's. And by the way, you and I have absolutely no chance against this adversary. We are not strong enough. We are not wise enough to do battle with Satan. We can't stand on our own. We need God's help. Therefore, in order to do the work, to be the faithful steward in God's work that He's called us to do, we must pray to the One who is able. We must pray to the One who is strong and is wise enough and ask God to increase our faith. Oh, friend, listen, every day our faith ought to grow stronger. We ought to grow closer to Almighty God. Ask that your faith would increase. Ask that your faith would fail not. But then notice thirdly, and lastly tonight, not only should we pray for His return and pray that our faith would not fail, but thirdly, in John chapter 17, I believe that you and I should pray that God would keep us from the evil that is in the world. The word keep has the idea to guard or to protect. And we need Almighty God's help to protect us from the evil that's in the world, because everywhere you look, Satan is on the attack. And everywhere you turn, you find the evil in the world. And if we're going to be count faithful and wise, then we need to be careful. We need to be protected from the evil. In John 17, in verse 1, the Bible says, "For these words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said." Notice, when we come to verse 17, according to verse 1, this is Almighty God. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And not only is this Jesus speaking, in verse 9, He says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine." Verse 9 says He's praying for His disciples. He's praying for those that walk and serve the Lord. Skip down to verse 15. What was His prayer? He says, "I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." I want you to notice in this passage, Jesus is speaking, Jesus is praying for His disciples, and His prayer was not that God would take them out of the world. His prayer was not that you and I would be taken out of this world. Why? Because there's a job to do. If you're breathing tonight, if you have breath in your body, there is a work that needs to be done. You are enlisted in the army of God, and you have the opportunity to be involved in the greatest work on this earth, God's work. And if you're here tonight, there's a work to do. And because of that, Jesus did not pray that we would be removed from the world, but rather that we would be protected from the evil that's in the world. He says, we're in the world, but we're not of this world. We have a job to do. So pray that God would keep us from the evil, that His work might be done until the day of His return. You want to know the awesome thing about each one of these things that we are to pray for? These were Jesus' prayers for us. You realize right now, Jesus is at the right hand of God, alive, making intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you, and these are His prayers for you. Can I encourage you tonight that if you will pray what Jesus has prayed, you're guaranteed your prayers will be answered. Because now your prayers come in direct line with Almighty God's. There's power there. Friend, we need to watch. We need to pray, and we need to stay busy for Almighty God. Just in closing, I'd like for you to take your hymn book and turn over to hymn number 593. I love the old hymns, and I believe we see in this hymn, there was a songwriter that I believe was moved of God as he read through these passages of Scripture. I believe that this hymn writer, as he reflected on the second coming of God, he knew what it was to be ready and to be prepared for the Lord to come. And in hymn number 593, the hymn writer wrote this. Read along with me as I read aloud. When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will He find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. If at the dawn of the early morning He shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will He answer thee, well done. Have we been true to the trust He left us? Do we seek to do our best? If in our hearts there is naught condemns us, we shall have a glorious rest. Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching. In His glory they shall share. If He shall come at the dawn or midnight, will He find us watching there? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Friend, the truth is, if Jesus were to come right now tonight, would you be ready? Are you watching? Do you have the anticipation and the glorious hope of His return? I encourage you tonight, watch and pray and stay busy for God, remembering that time spent waiting on God is never wasted. It's preparation time. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. Father, I do pray tonight that You would bless in this invitation. May Thy will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.